Right.
So what's up?
Right, right, right. STK. It's been a minute.
Yo, happy new year. Big welcome back, everybody. Just Heck is taking the night off, you know. So per usual, you got me, Coach B, a lot has happened. Ed, where do we start, man?
Well, we should talk about the tonight's win, right? They played the Celtics. You know, it was a terrible matchup for the first half of the game. We were down by 26 points at one point. The starters were stuck in mud. I mean, RJ was straight up terrible in that first half. He got blocked by Williams like four straight times. I mean, oh my God. Julius was just being slow. The only one that kept us in the game really was Fournier. He's just making his shots. He must hate the Celtics, right? I mean, his best games are against the Celtics. And if it wasn't for Fournier in that first half, we'd be trash. We'd be down by 40 points. But he paced the game. He was making his threes. He was playing well. Alex Burks was playing well. You know, I personally think he's playing out of position. I think Tibbs is trying to make, you know, magic out of dust. Burks is a great player. I like him as a player. I like him off the bench, or I like him as a three or the two. I don't like him as the one. But that starting lineup and that first half, they were dredging along. They really just couldn't do anything about it. You know, Jaylen Brown, the first quarter, was killing RJ, or basically whoever was guarding him. And then Tatum was also killing us. Who's the guy that from Atlanta, the point guard off the bench? What's his name?
Off the bench.
Yeah.
I know. Not sure.
Well, he was playing well as well. So those three on the Celtics was really coming at us. Their defense was sound. But guess what? You know, if it was a first half game, it'd be a first half game. It wasn't a first half game. And they really turned it up in the third quarter. Really led by Quickly. Quickly played an excellent, excellent game. He had 16 big points. He had strong defense. Basically, the Celtics kind of collapsed in front of us. You know, Julius started picking it up. You know, Julius ended up with, 22 points, 8 for 20 shooting. Fournier kept on being on fire. He ended up with 41 big points, 9, 10 threes off the – oh, my God. He was amazing. And then, you know, they kept on chipping away. The lead was 25. They chipped it down to, like, 7? Third quarter, fourth quarter came. They got the lead. And then the Garden was rocking. And then it was big shot after big shot after big shot. It was a Tatum and Fournier show. And then the last seconds, where I personally thought we were going to lose the game or we were just going to go into overtime. Three-point shot, RJ, bank shot, call it game, winner. Sometimes you need these games, man. You know, like we could complain about all this, and we could talk about how the Knicks don't have a point guard, and we could talk about Tibbs being a terrible coach, and we could talk about there's no go-to scorers. But sometimes you just got to appreciate what you have. That's why we're surviving the Knicks. And the Knicks were down by 25 points, and we stormed back in the third quarter. We took the lead in the fourth, and we were going toe-to-toe, and we won the game off a bank shot. Great game.
I'll be honest. I sat this game out, man. I couldn't bear to deal with the inconsistency. Like, overall, it hasn't been fun lately. So, like, I'm happy RJ hit the basket. I'm happy he had 30 the night before, but yeah, I couldn't do it today.
That's funny, man.
I feel like the high expectations that we had, especially after the first few games of the season, is making this season one of the harder seasons to watch, even over some of our older bad seasons. It's like this And it's because of the expectations. We thought that Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker was going to come in and give us firepower, and they wasn't able to do that. And I was depressed throughout the comeback because I'm like, man, I'm just sitting here basing my whole offense, and my whole offense is like, can Evan Fournier stay hot? You know, if that's what if that's what your offensive firepower is. But no, man, everybody, I thought, you know, it's tough to play from behind. You know, I want to take a second to talk about Julius Randle and RJ Barrett. You know, like I'm still looking at this season as the one step back in the two steps forward, one step back process. You know, we definitely took two steps forward last year, and now you see that we're taking one step back. But you know, coming into the season, it was looking like you were gonna look at RJ Barrett and say, okay, you're gonna be able to focus on your catch and shooting and your driving and dishing, but we really want to see you develop as a defensive player. And then if you look at Julius Randle, you say, all right, you're not going to have so much of the weight on your shoulder this year. You're going to have a little bit of help. And then those two things don't happen. You know, imagine that in your life, in your workplace, where you're told, all right, you did a great job last year. We're going to improve the atmosphere and your job is going to be a little bit easier. And then that just doesn't happen, you know. But, you know, RJ Barrett, you know, played great defense tonight. I thought that the switching on the defense, I thought it was a nightmare, man. I can't get a hold of Tibbs. I can't never understand what he's trying to do, because Evan Fournier was hot, but he was getting destroyed on defense. So Jason Tatum and their point guard Marcus Smart on every single play would run. You can't even call it a pick. You call it a rub. But they would get the switch, and that would leave Evan Fournier defending Jason Tatum. And RJ Barrett had done a great job defending Jason Tatum all night. So I thought that this game, once it got into the fourth quarter, I thought that we had a good chance of taking control. And instead of taking control, we almost went into overtime. And that's why this is what I'm talking about. It's hard to watch the Knicks these days. I got to watch the first 5 minutes of the Phoenix game while we set up the Zoom call. And man, it's depressing because you watch your team and you realize that you're watching bad basketball, and then you flick the channel to the next game and it seems like everybody else is playing decent basketball where you know, they have a system that they go into and a system that it looks fluid, you know? So yeah, but you know, all in all, like Ed said, it's nice to have a win, but you know, we missed, what was it, 3 or 4 free throws late in the game. And those were our two guys, Julius Randle and RJ Barrett. If they hit a couple of free throws, then we don't rely on a fading RJ Barrett three-point shot off the glass, you know, to win. So this is what won the game for us tonight. Evan Fournier absolutely
2 feet from the three-point line.
Going nuts, you know. And I thought that Evan Fournier had a good day, but it was based on volume. You know, he started to hit shots, but he missed a lot of shots. He almost, you know, took us out the game, and then he was able to bring us back into the game. But, you know, Evan Fournier and then a fadeaway three-pointer RJ Barrett, you know, that's not going to be the stuff that gets us back to where we even was last year. You know, this is definitely, like I said, a one step back, you know, part of the system where we went two steps forward, one step back, and, you know, we still going to need a point guard. But still, again, just last thing, still shout out to Julius Randle and RJ Barrett, man, who have been able to take a horrible atmosphere and still be able to, you know, I think they're still growing. If you really,
we below 500, so I don't know what they're doing just yet, but
man, it's not, we definitely below 500, but I can't put the blame on RJ. And I can't put the blame on Julius.
That's
where the blame is, man. Blame goes on both those guys.
Oh, man, unfortunately, the blame goes to the front office for bringing Kemba and Evan.
Wait. We're going to jump into that right now. First, quick last stat. Julius Randle plus 14 today and a plus minus. And no, hold on. Let me get that right. So Julius Randle, yeah, plus 14, and Fournier plus 18 and plus minus, which is rare for both to be well in such a close game. So shout out to them. And to the state of the Knicks, man, at Dollars, what do you think, like, where we're at overall from at this point in the season?
Before we go into the state of the Knicks, all right, this game could be a turning point of the season. I mean, again, if you look at the dynamics of a game and the season, I mean, you guys got ups and downs, ups and downs, and we're fighting a competitor, one of our rivals, the Celtics, the Boston Celtics, who we actually play on Saturday. And we went toe-to-toe with these guys, and we looked like the lesser team. There's, when I was watching the game, I know exactly what you were saying, Hector. I'm like watching this, and I'm like, God damn, we looked terrible. We don't have our young guys look slow. We don't have anyone like Brown or Tatum on our team. Julius is like pudging and trotting along, and it just looks terrible basketball. And all of a sudden, magic happened, and the Garden was alive. The Garden was rocking, guys. Three after three, and it was crowds and yelling and stuff like that. The Fournier was throwing his hands in the air. You know what I'm saying? And then imagine if you were in that Garden and RJ takes a step back three from the corner, bank shot to win the game. Yo, I'm not saying, I'm saying that sometimes we need these games to change our mentality. All right, state of the Knicks. The last time we spoke, we weren't very happy with the Knicks, right? There were like losses. Thibodeau was talking about now Kemba's out of the lineup, and then he was out of the lineup, and then COVID hit, and there was a bunch of players all across the league going on the reserve list. I'm personally in safety protocols right now, and we had to call a bunch of people up, and we started losing games. Then Julius Randle, I don't know how you guys feel. Julius Randle went into protocol. I was actually excited about that because we got Obi about to start. And guess what happened? Obi started playing like Toby. And Toby can't play well.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, we needed Randle back. But what we got was, we got a glimpse of what RJ could truly be if he was the man on the team. And RJ did well. I mean, he hit 32 points. He played well against the Pacers. He was above 25 points in all games he played. Great. Julius Randle came back last game. Him and RJ were really connecting. And then you go back to this game where they weren't really connecting. So what is the state of the Knicks? Looking at the portrait of the Knicks, I'm very concerned. Number one, like what we always talk about, the coach. This is clear to me that this is a rebuilding program. Last year was an anomaly. We had a player that was going into free agency. He had actually a career year, and we paid him. And now that player is not playing the same way. Yes, Julius is our best player, but his percentages are not the same. He's back down to a 32% three-point shooter. Last year, he was a 41% three-point shooter. That statistical anomaly, that shit never happens. That's like getting hit with lightning. You drop 8 points. In reality, last year was the anomaly in his career. He's always been a 32% three-point shooter, but he's our best player. And then you have RJ, the number three pick in the draft. The reason why we're so excited as young Knicks fans was, we thought we got a thoroughbred. And the more I see RJ, and today was a good, if you looked at the game, today was a perfect picture of what he is. He's a little slow. He's not that athletic. He could play. He's a little crafty. He got blocked 5 times today going to the rim. He got blocked 5 times going to the rim by Robert Williams. And every time, Van Gundy, the announcer, was like, I think RJ needs to do some other thing because he's getting blocked every time he goes to the rim. Like, RJ can't lift. And he's our go-to guy and our expected superstar. And ultimately, he's not our superstar.
True.
He's going to be a good number three guy on our team once we start getting players. So we got to really adjust our expectations for RJ. He hit the bank shot off, he won the game today. And that's the other part of it, right? You see RJ for like 30 minutes and you're like, oh, this guy, I mean, he's good. Is he a good? Maybe Randall's holding him back. And then he does something spectacular, like win the game or hit a fadeaway or go to the rack. So it's like, you know, it's just not consistent. And then you got OB and Quickly and Grimes and some of the other players, and we don't see enough of them because Tibbs doesn't play enough of them. So the current state is, it's just messy. You can't be truly happy. I don't know how to feel as a Knicks fan.
Perfect. I share a lot of those same sentiments. Definitely a whole bunch of like floating parts and pieces that don't fit perfectly together. Very, I think, redundant, you know, with certain positions as far as like the ability of what Grimes and Fournier and Burks does as far as being wings that score the ball. I think Grimes has obviously he plays with a little bit more energy because he's younger, you know, he's trying to make his way, earn his keep. But no one really like stands out. They could all score a little bit. They all have big moments, but no one stands out as a consistent piece. Quickly, Kemba, Derrick Rose, pretty much all the same kind of guard, score first. You know, at least with Alfred Payton, we had a more of a better defensive presence. Does he deserve as much minutes as he got? Probably not. But definitely we are good, you know, with a different change of pace as far as like when McBride plays well, he's aggressive on defense, you know, and that changes where we get more fast break opportunities. So having that be the head of our defense is something to look into, or trying to go another round, find another player. I'm not really sure. Julius Randle, I'm pretty sure he's probably hitting the same percentage on spot up shots, because that Christmas game, he looked great, you know, catching and shooting, picking and popping, even though like sometimes his screens are lackluster. When the defense is not giving him any pressure, he's still a decent spot up shooter. So, and then again, redundancy with the bigs. All the bigs do the same thing. Mitchell Robinson, Jericho, and Nerlens Noel. Sort of kind of athletic, just, you know, strong athletes and can rim protect, but they don't give us any diversity. So having guys that can do different things at different positions helps, I think, makes us more of a threat long term. But yeah, I'm just not excited and happy to watch this team anymore. There is no star power. You know, we got Kemba, RJ, Julius Randle, Evan Fournier all fighting to take the most shots on the team, and it just doesn't make any sense. It's not helping us progress to where come playoff time, you know, we need one guy to lean on. Like, we just won't have it because that guy didn't get enough reps because everyone doesn't know who to turn to. And a lot of that falls on leadership as well, but I think I'm tired of talking about management. You know, I'm tired of talking about Tibbs, you know, and everybody else. Like, we got who we got on that end. And then the pieces, the players, the guys on the floor have to make it work, you know, and they're not doing that. And Obi, he's still turnover prone, and I can see why Tibbs doesn't play him as much, but he has to play through his mistakes. And the mystery of Kevin Knox, when he plays, he's not that bad. So
he's not that bad.
You know, I still don't know what the deal is.
The other thing is that, you know, the problem with the true core problem, and, you know, Kenny from TNT actually said it today, there's no shot creation, man. They lack shot creation. You know, to have Alex Burks bring up the ball and go side to side, that's not shot creation. Shot creation is making plays. And Kenny actually said it well. He was like, Julius Randle's not a playmaker. He's a shot maker. And they got a lot of shot makers on the Knicks, but you need playmakers to really make a team. And right now we don't have not one shot playmaker. Kemba's not playing, and Kemba can be a playmaker when he plays, when he has the confidence of his coach. And, you know, just to shut Tibbs up, when Kemba finally, after all these COVID protocols, Tibbs had to put Kemba back in the lineup, and he scored 36 points. But, you know, the lack of a point guard, whether it is McBride or Kemba or Quickly, that's really the connecting piece that we don't have. And without that connecting piece, it's kind of like it's a mess.
Wall Street, what you thinking, man?
That's why I think, you know, this is, you know, two steps forward, one step back, because we're back in the same place. You know, we have a big hole at the one, we got a big hole at the three. So that's why, you know, if anything, I got to look at, and you say you don't want to talk about them anymore, but, you know, they're the ones that's making it happen. You got to look at management now, and you got to say, all right, that was a nice little experiment that you had with Kemba. That was a nice little experiment that you had with
Ed. Season's not even over yet.
I know season's not even over yet, but at this point, you know, now it's time to try to continue to develop, try to continue to grow. You know, at this point, are you need Evan Fournier to be phenomenal for the rest of the season for you to think about, you know, keeping him on and keeping this unit the way this unit is today. This can't be the unit that we get, you know, coming
in. We're in the play-in. We're currently in the play-in.
We're in the play-in right now. We're number 9.
Oh, man, you gotta. I think that you gotta start looking into next season already. We don't have a point guard.
The trade deadline hasn't even passed.
Come on, coach. You looked at that game today, and you knew it's like I think Ed touched up on.
They won the game though.
You looked in at that game today, and you realize, you know, right away that this is a rebuilding team. This is not a playoff team. This is a building team. And like I said, Kemba and Evan, those were experiments that went horribly wrong. And next year, the Knicks cannot look like this early on next season. Not with RJ Barrett and Julius Randle, you know, with the upside that they have. I think that Mitch has a lot of upside. I think that he's going to continue to grow.
Over his bench.
So, you know, these guys need, you know, and again, I know I said it earlier, but after the Knicks game, I started watching a little bit of the Clipper and Phoenix game, you know, and I know because I play ball. It's nice to have a general on the court. When you got a general on the court, somebody that control the ball, you can focus on doing less. You know what you do when you got a general on the court? You just run hard. Just run hard. Forget about the game. Forget about, you know, all the noise and just put your head down and cut, pick, pop, and hit shots.
Tibbs doesn't want that kind of point guard, man. We know that. We know Tibbs don't want that kind of point guard. He's too – Chris Paul's too small to play for Tibbs. Come on.
Well, I thought that's what he brought Kemba in for. I thought that, you know –
he didn't bring Kemba.
And Kemba has one of the best seasons of his career, even if it's just one of the best seasons in his career. Then he was a hell of a distributor. And like Ed said, he was a hell of a playmaker, you know, not just a shot maker, but a playmaker, somebody that can make the game easier. That's basically what you thought Julius Randle and RJ Barrett were going to get this year. You thought that they were going to have the game spoon-fed to them, like, you know, where it can just be a little bit easier for them. It's like, you know, I know I said it before. It's like when you have a few years in the league and you score 14 points per game. And now all of a sudden you end up on a LeBron-led team. Now you're scoring 18 points per game. And those points are coming a little bit easier. You know, you start playing with Chris Paul, your percentages go up a little bit. Your points per game go up a little bit. And it's a little bit easier because he's feeding you. You know, so that's what I thought that RJ was going to get this year. I thought that Julius was going to get that this year where the game is being fed to them. But you know, after a couple of games, they got to look around and say, damn, it's not going to be like that. I still got to work. I still got to put my head down and get it done because, you know, we're not going to rely on Evan Fournier, you know, dropping 30 points per game. You know, it's just not going to happen. We need consistency throughout the entire squad. And that's what we saw in the first 10 games of the season. If you look back at the first 10 games of the season, they were only Evan Fournier had like one or two breakout games. Besides that, we were winning and guys were scoring 10 points, 14 points, 15 points. Nobody blew the stat sheet away, but the team was playing together. And now you don't got that. Now you need, you know, RJ to give me 32 and a fadeaway bank shot. You need Evan Fournier to have a career night for us to beat the Celtics. And Ed, as far as this being a game that kind of sparks and ignites the Knicks. Yeah, I can understand that if this was Milwaukee or Philly, you know, but this is a struggling Boston Celtics team that's coming off a back-to-back.
You're right.
We had a lot of trouble putting them away, you know, so.
Yeah, they definitely need a trade. They need something to happen. But the question is whether they're going to be buyers or sellers. In my opinion... I think they should be sellers. You know what I'm saying? I think we should sell because the pieces don't match, right? We got too many pieces. They should sell the coach and they should sell a couple of the players. You know, one of the bigger pieces that we could probably get some, you know, Derrick Rose. I feel bad for Derrick Rose, right? He's not going anywhere with the
Knicks. He want to be here, man.
He wanted to be here because he got paid and he likes his coach. But I think we should, you know, I think Derrick Rose would be more beneficial somewhere else, you know, so at a contender. Yeah. You know, Alex Burks. Alex Burks is another guy, you know, put him on the right team. He's nasty. He's really good. And right now, the way our offensive rhythm is set up and the coaching, the strategies is not accentuating his strengths. I mean, he's a good player. That's why he's our pseudo point guard. But, you know, is he right for the Knicks right now? No. Like, you know, we had Taj Gibson that played. Taj Gibson played 21 minutes and Jericho Sims got no burn. You know what I'm saying? Like, shouldn't we be developing Jericho Sims and not Taj Gibson that's been in the league almost 20 years? You know what I'm saying? Things like that just don't make sense to me. Randall still played 38 minutes while Obi only played 10. Things like that makes no sense to me. Obi was a seventh pick last year and his PER is again close to 20. We got to see these guys play, man. We got to see these guys play. We got to open our eyes and be like, are we really doing anything? Where are we going?
We're stuck in the mud.
And I don't know where we're going to go.
Just to piggyback off that, we're the role player farm system. We take the role players, you know, we build them up so they can go win championships somewhere else. That's always been the Knicks staple, man. It's ugly.
AKA Portis.
Portis. Trevor Ariza. Yo, J.R. Smith.
Matt Barnes.
Come on. This is terrible. it sucks. It sucks to see that it makes sense to give up a little bit, you know, like just kind of throw in the towel in some senses. But somebody has to give me something, man. I'm looking for someone, maybe, you know, a higher power to say, yo, you're the leader on this team and they're going to play through you the rest of the way. Because Julius Randle coming into it, he had all the momentum, and now it's just flat. You know, now it's take your turn. Whoever wants it could take the throne for today. And it's okay, you know, in a pickup game to say, yo, we're all going to take turns and anybody can win us this game. But in this league, you know, you got to have that leader and that dominating force. That way, when the big games, you know, and those tough matchups that matter the most, everyone knows who to lean to. And we just don't have that. And it really boggles my mind. It bothers me that across the board, the players and management don't know where we're headed as far as like who we want to lean on, at least for this season. And it's only going to get uglier going forward. And it's kind of scary to see the young guys develop and still not have someone to go to. Like, yo, you're the go-to guy. So finding a star or buying or trading for a star is always like disaster. But at least it gives us direction. You know, when Melo was here, everyone knew the ball was going to Melo. And, you know, it was some form of start of some direction. So
why would a star come to the Knicks? And, like, let's say we trade everybody and then we got Dame Lillard and then we just kept Randall. Like, where are we going? We're going to win with Dame Lillard and Dame and Randall?
It's a better start than what we've been watching. Like, lost to Detroit. Toronto and like a 12 o'clock game.
We beat the Pacers though.
The Pacers aren't good. are not good. Like, I'm sorry. They're still on fire sale. Like,
we beat Boston today. But I agree with you. I think we need to do something different. And maybe we should just look at the draft again and let the young guy, you know, let the kids play.
Deadline. That's gonna be my story for tonight. It's not even a trade deadline, but it's scary. Wall Street outlook for what we got left.
I just hope to see more growth. I'm not looking to tank the season. I would love to see this team try to battle their way into a playoff game, and that's gonna help the young guys continue to develop. You know, you come out of playoff. A lot of time you see it every year. You see young guys get a little playoff run, and they come back the next season, you know, just so much better. I think playoff experience is very, very valuable in the young players. in a young player's career. So, you know, just get RJ back in, get Quickly in there, get OB in there, let them, you know, feel that playoff vibe again. And, you know, I'm not looking at tanking the season, but, you know, understand that, you know, this team is in the same position we was before. We still don't have a point guard. True. No?
Slowly falling off the RJ wagon, I'm not going to lie.
Hard to be on that wagon, man. I like RJ a lot, but
yeah, he got a lot of work to do. His game is I'm not impressed.
Weird. He's got a weird game.
Yeah, he got inside early against the Pacers, you know, got some quick baskets, like a quick post up, you know, and attacked the basket, but I don't know. Around the NBA news, anything super impressive to you all?
Kyrie Irving came back. Kyrie Irving played yesterday. He looked damn good.
Came in good yesterday.
24 points, won the game for them. He looked real good.
Yeah, came as soon as he got assigned safety protocols, and then you know he got back on the floor. So shout out to that. I think for me, DeMar DeRozan. Yo, like
two back to back game winners.
Yeah, and two
3-point shots.
2021 hit one. Next day, 2022 hit another one. Big deal. Yeah.
And just to that point, right? In an alternate universe, in a variant universe, we could have had DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball, and our team would be 100% times better.
We'd be the Bulls.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like little things like that that our management didn't do. Yeah. That, you know, that's why they were the fourth seed last year. We should have kept on. But unfortunately, I believe that we had too much faith in Tibbs. That's why last year might have been a big mistake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Tibbs. Yeah. Listen, I think we gave Tibbs an A+. I'm gonna go find the video.
No, I did definitely. I mean, he won Coach of the Year. I was happy. I was happy, but I always knew that I wanted Lonzo Ball, and I didn't want him as a coach. He worked wonders. He got Randall paid. Randall got $126 million because of him and him alone. You know what I'm saying? So, but back to your point, the DeRozan is like really changing the way his
Kobe, man.
The landscape for him has been, you know, I'm reading a book, right? I'm reading a book called the mid-game theory. It's about statistics and how like basketball analytics works. And there's a chapter that compares Jimmy Butler to DeMar DeRozan. And basically in that chapter, you know, their offensive production is about the same. But some people think that Jimmy Butler is a top 15 player. And others believe that DeMar is like a 200, 300 player. And the reason is their defense. And Jimmy and DeMar just like worlds apart defensively. And then it just compares the two. But this year is different. And DeMar is really his offensive grade this year has been off the fucking charts.
Crazy.
And I'm really happy for him.
Wall Street and around the league. What you got?
Oh man, Memphis Grizzlies, they got the league's most improved player. I forget his first name. I think his last name
is Desmond Bane.
Desmond Bane. Yeah, Memphis Grizzlies, man. That's tough. John Morant, bro. John Morant got the cheat code.
You know, especially after coming back, man. You know, those stats are from when he was playing and they weren't winning to being out and they started winning, then came back and they lost. And then I guess they figured it out the last three or four games. That's dope for them.
Imagine if we had him.
Nah, we
would. Imagine the Knicks had him. Damn.
We just missed it. We wasn't getting job. It would have been nice. But final words, man. Shout out to the team, but I'm off the development bandwagon altogether. Julius Randle, stop taking tough shots, like catch and shoot, keep it simple, and yeah, that'll help us a little bit. And to an identity, to the entire roster, whoever you are that can lead this unit and give us an identity, show up every day and let Tip see you, man. Let the Knicks find an identity.
My final words is I was dying to see Quickly like get a little bit more of a demand of the ball, dribble a little bit more, create a little bit more off the dribble. And I think I saw tonight why, you know, they don't do that. I don't think he dribbles with his head up. I don't think that he can make really a great pass. He's got to be able to make a – and, you know, if I could talk too quickly, I say, listen, if you can make a great pass off the dribble, you probably get the keys to this offense, you know, because you can do a lot of the other things, but you got to be able to keep your dribble alive. You got to be able to keep your head up, and you got to be able to see the shift in the defense and find the open man. And it's not enough to find the open man quickly. You got to put the ball in the pocket. You got to put the ball in the shooting pocket. You got to, you know, you got to eliminate unneeded movement. You know, it got to be. So I saw quickly dribbling the ball, you know, trying to get other players in rhythm, trying to be that general that we need. And, you know, and I don't know, I still like him being the, like we said, the shot creator or the playmaker, you know, not just the shot maker, but, he got a long way to go. I got to see it today a little bit. We've seen it before, but we see it a little bit more today. He got a long way to go, you know, to have that ability to, you know, you got to be able to dribble in and out of space. You got to be able to get into a crowd and get out of the crowd. And keep your head up and throw bullet passes to the open player and keep the offense going. That's what the Knicks need right now. So yeah, I got to see a little bit. I wanted to see quickly, you know, take a command of the offense. We got to see it a little bit today. It didn't look very good, but let's see what happens next.
Yo, when I was in the eighth grade, I was walking down. When I was in the eighth grade, I was walking down the street. And I was right before then, I was always a bit of a punk kid. I didn't want to really deal with nonsense. You know, when I saw a bunch of kids, I would step away from them. You know, I was tall and lanky, but I was very timid and afraid, right? And one time, I was walking down the street, and I got jumped by a bunch of people. And they beat me up. They stole my coat. But you know what I said to myself? I was like, man, you know what? I got beat up. I took their lumps and it didn't really hurt. I should have fought back. And for whatever reason, that one event changed my entire life. It gave me confidence, not only like physically, but mentally, spiritually. And I became a different person altogether. You never know, man. The shot that RJ took today could have changed his life. And he can see maybe today was the turnaround. Today was a great game where RJ, you know, won the game, where a guy that was not making, that wasn't doing well and is getting paid, you know, $22 million and Evan Fournier was horrible, scored 41 points. A guy that was our leader, you know, trudged along and in the third quarter came to life and scored 22 points and brought us back. And then you have some of the young guys like Quickly that, you know, was making shot after shot after shot and helped us alleviate the lead. Sometimes you need a little beat down to like get yourself over the hump. And hopefully these guys have been getting beat down all year. And it's time for them to like kind of look in the mirror and realize that they have potential. Not only the players, but the management, the coach, everybody, the whole Knick organization has to look in the mirror and be like, yo, what are we trying to do here? It's time. Surviving the Knicks, baby.
Welcome back. Great job. Thank you.
Happy New Year, guys.
New Year.
Soon. Same time. Well, Wednesday next week.
All right, boys.
Peace.
Later.
Night.
Finds Barrett. Get a shot up. This is for the win. Oh, it's good. Off the window. RJ Barrett wins it for the Knicks.